your right to fart and an elevator stops at my floor.
Greetings, Apropossi. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Wow.
I feel like that may be one of the smartest things you've ever said, James.
Oh, God.
And somehow, simultaneously,
the
most insanely stupid.
Yep.
Hold on.
If anybody could pull something like that off, it would be James.
Mm-hmm.
What are we drinking?
a rum and Coke.
We're
using Salsa's rum.
What kind of rum is it?
Yeah, this isn't even like...
Which is, I think, my favorite kind.
Yeah.
It's whatever Salsa has is my favorite kind.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a 750 of George Ocean Gold Rum. It is 40%.
Yeah. Glad I'm not driving.
That's rum.
Smooth seas never made a skilled sailor, but smooth spirits helped. Legend has it that the original George Ocean could sail through a hurricane with one hand tied behind his back, all while protecting his precious cargo of spirits. A fearless man and a smooth sailor, and now a smooth gold rum.
Can I just drink this now or what?
Yes.
I am okay. There it. I'm not used to seeing a spirit list an ABV as opposed to a proof.
Mm. Yeah, I think they're doing that more and more. I've seen more
people
percentages.
Don't know what a fucking proof is?
Because people
this also
don't know
lists
how to...
proof like 80 like on the side like in small print, but it's got an ABV on it.
Yeah. They're just taking the math out of it.
Math is hard.
If you're too dumb to be able to math what a proof is, you should not be drinking. Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
Well, I mean...
I have opinions. All right, I have...
What?
I have a hot take.
What? You don't
I would say that's...
Salsa. No, please, don't say.
That's a fucking hot
if you
pocket
could just not
take.
Say.
That's it might seem hot on the outside, but it's got an ice-cold center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mmm. Yeah, that's a rum and Coke. Mm-hmm. I like it.
It is.
I'm in.
Just that, like the tin says.
That has a... The rum has a real particular quality to
no,
it.
No, it's quite lovely, actually.
It's a good rum. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Coke, so I mean...
You know. It doesn't have cocaine. I'm a little sad about that. But
it
like,
brings out the acidity of the Coke, in my opinion.
I feel like it adds a bit of a caramelization.
Hmm. Yeah. Maybe so.
A bit to this.
Hmm.
I feel like if this was Dr. Pepper instead of Coke, I'd be down.
Ah.
They did not have Dr. Pepper where we went.
Nope.
It was very sad.
Yep.
Lame.
I agree, but...
Gold LeMay.
Gold LeMay.
Mm-hmm. I made the inverse of this joke just earlier today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
yeah. All right.
My daughter had a gold LeMay jacket, and I went lame.
Okay. That's funny.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So what you been up to?
Yeah.
So
I, all right, so I'm working on one of my projects of doom, and I swear to fucking God, someday I'll be done.
Mm-hmm.
On the plus
You're
side...
You're juggling?
Huh?
You're juggling?
No.
I'm sorry, jugglers only of doom, trademark.
Don't believe that's accurate.
Yeah, it's everything a juggler ever throws is a flaming something of doom.
Magicians use of doom too, though.
His
Okay, okay, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, okay, but jugglers and magicians
and Indiana Jones has a temple of doom.
I know what you meant.
Temple of Doom have other implements of doom?
I'm sure you can juggle.
It's not like the garden shed of doom.
No, James, it's the three Sankara stones. They're juggling stones.
I want to argue, but it does make a lot of sense.
They're juggling stones
of doom. Yes.
Thank okay. you. All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Anyway. I just imagine him like pulling the heart out of the guy's chest, and then the three stones, and
So anyway, I've been working on a project of my own personal doom. Does that help,
John Romero?
I'm sorry. I just got to get this out here. Kalima Shakti.
Okay, I'm done.
The good news is I have not yet broken your wife's serger.
Because you haven't used it yet?
No, I have used it.
Oh.
But I did break mine a second time.
Huh? You more broke it?
Well, because I got some needles. The reason why I had asked about your wife's serger in the first place was because I wanted to get going again, but then I was nervous about using it.
Yeah.
And then life happened, so then I didn't use it. But it was fortuitous because in that time, the new needles showed up for my machine. So I replaced those needles.
Okay.
And then attempted to do what I had been doing earlier when I broke it. And then
And then you broke it.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that using your wife's machine.
No.
And it is still in a wonderful functioning condition.
Great.
But that means I had to drastically alter midway through how I was going about this sewing project.
Huh.
So, yeah.
And by the time she reaches the end of the dungeon and beats the boss, she will still have 3 mega elixirs in the pocket. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
3? 99, bitch.
Oh, it's just for the dungeon, not the boss of the game.
No, I know. 99.
Oh. Yeah, 99. That's really top up.
I never use them ever, ever, ever.
Right, because what if you need them?
Exactly.
I always just forget.
You've got one character left hanging on by a hangnail.
But you can't use it.
And you're going to use
what if you need it?
50 potions to avoid.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just forget about it and then die. And I'm like, well, that was dumb of me.
Oh, that was right there.
Uh-huh. Anyway, so, yeah. So I have altered everything. I've altered my alterations.
Pray do not don't alter.
There it is. Yep.
Oh, good.
The alter the alterations further.
And I am making progress again, so that's great. So I did that, and then yesterday, I went to Robin's Cookout. And then after Robin's Cookout, I left there to go to Robin's Cookout.
Uh-huh.
I had two friends whose actual names are Robin. One goes by Robaba.
Robaba.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Did I? Robaba has said that his full name is Robin on stuff before, right? Did I just dox him?
I don't.
Doxing. All right. Well, you can let me know later, buddy.
Yeah.
If I owe you something, but
look, all I know is she went to a cookout and ended up having leg day. It was weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. I mean, turkey leg day. But yeah. So I went to one and then I went to the other. A lot of meat was consumed. A lot of merriment was had with various friends.
Mm-hmm.
It was delightful. There was a crazy lady in the street.
Then Jenna was invited inside.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was very nice.
She had her hands against the windows like a Dickensian orphan.
Scratch, scratch.
Soft violin music playing.
But no, we were out having a smoke, me and a couple of other people, and this lady in basically a shift, bare feet, long hair, is slowly meandering down the sidewalk, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna pay attention to this. And she's got like a book in her arm, and
that's where it came from.
Yeah. I didn't want to say anything because she was right there, but I watched you do that, and I'm like, I don't draw attention to... Okay, never mind.
Well.
But, yeah, so she had this... the cover is no longer a part of it. It looked like a fucking manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a book on, like, morals and ethics of some sort. And so she's carrying this, but also kind of meandering in a slow, wobbly, but still stable kind of way. And I'm like, oh, is she on something? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she did at one point, like, so we're just hanging out, chatting, whatever, and she walks by. And then she sets it down, and she starts dancing with something. It may have been the colors. I don't know. At one point she was just basically, walking around in tiny circles, staring at her feet. Yeah, it was an interesting time.
Wow.
She was elsewhere.
Yes. So I decided to ask her how she was doing, like, and be like, hey,
check in. Yeah.
Yeah. Just do a little check in. And she was aware enough. Like, I really just wanted to gauge the situation and be like, okay, is this person actually a danger to themselves or others right now?
Yeah.
Right? And she asked to bum a cigarette. And I did.
Right.
I lent her a lighter. She lit the cigarette herself. No problems. Like, actually, way more deftly than I expected. So...
muscle memory.
And we just kind of talked a little bit. And, like, I didn't bring up the fact that she was obviously on something. But, yeah, she's like, yeah, no, just, yeah, just taking a nice neighborhood stroll. And I'm like, it's one way of describing what you're doing.
Yeah. All right.
And I was like, I want to make sure you don't forget your book. And she's like, yeah, I know. It's right there by the driveway. I'm like, okay, great. So she displayed an awful lot of awareness for somebody who then, as I left, started trying to grab at something above her head. Like, it was very bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I went back and I let the hosts know. I was like, I think just knows as an awareness thing, you guys should know. There's a crazy lady up front dancing with imaginary friends. And, you know, here's the situation. And another person that had been with me that had gone in while I went to check on this lady was like, I didn't know what to do. I'm like, see, I live in uptown.
Like, yep.
I don't... This is just a day in the life for me.
Yeah.
Like, and, yeah, when I left, she was still in the area. Her manuscript had been moved out of the driveway. But, yeah, I think she was on the other side of the street. And I'm just like, all right, well, try not to hit her as I drive off, I guess. But yeah, that was interesting. Then yeah, I went to another friend's and ate meat and had conversation and got caught up with people I haven't seen in forever. It was lovely. And then today I went to a birthday party. And took a nap. The end. And then I came here.
I'm sorry.
The other end.
Yeah, that scans.
On Sunday, I did a thing, and Jenna was there, and there were a lot of boothies.
Yeah, it was like a fencing booth.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was also at this barbecue. The hosts announced that they were no longer going to be having this particular event in their backyard because there just wasn't enough backyard for all of the people. And that was very true. Like, it was lively. It was thick with friends.
Yes.
Yeah, it was wonderful. A lot of people that I haven't seen in ages. Met new people. Fucking great. Good food. Oh. Really, really good food. And just, like, lovely company. It was great. On Saturday before that, I had hung out with Charles' best friend, former landlord, for the evening and overnight. But then before that, we're working our way backward. Before that, I had spent a bunch of time with friend Lucas putting in a large backyard garden.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Which was quite a bit of my Friday and Saturday. Probably, I want to say, 8 to 10 hours in total this weekend. I'm a little sore from all of that.
Yeah.
But I managed to avoid severe sunburn.
Oh, good for you.
By just constantly reapplying. Yeah. It's all I can do. I'm really excited for things to start growing and to have little vegetables.
Yay!
We were cautioned against things like planting multiple cherry tomato plants. Lest we end up with
a billion cherry tomatoes,
an abundance.
I will take all of your cherry tomatoes that you don't want. I fucking love cherry tomatoes.
We do too, but there's an amount.
If you get past that amount, I'm willing to be overflow for cherry tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah,
like cherry tomatoes and zucchini.
Mm.
Always mm-hmm. just
it's a wealth.
Keep going.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that he said. He was like, "How many tomato plants do you want in here? How many, you know, large heirloom? How many, you know, whatever?" I was like, "Well, we were thinking this," and Jax was like, "Yeah, we were thinking like 3, maybe 4." And he was like, "Oh, do you can?" Do you can things? We're like, no, not we haven't. Well, I mean, we haven't. But and he's like, well, you're gonna learn really quick if you plant more than maybe one cherry tomato and one slicing sandwich tomato. Yeah, don't.
Especially just, you know, a couple of you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just the three of us are not gonna make it through all of those tomatoes. So yeah, we will probably have some to share. But yeah, I planted chives, which is wonderful for me. It's when I was growing up, just outside of the door to the farmhouse, we had a tiny little herb garden. And one of the things there was chives. And so I would, on my way in or on my way out, I would frequently grab a chive.
We actually, behind Irish Cottage, where the animal farm is now, used to be a garden. And there were fresh chives in there all the time, and that's what we used to make our praties.
Hey.
Yeah, I absolutely understand having fresh chives.
You walk past a chive pot every single time you get here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're welcome to snag some, because that pot is full of chives.
Hell yes.
So,
I'll have some of those, some of your ferns, and, you know.
Do you need any hostas?
Yeah, do you want some hostas?
I really don't. I really don't. No, we're planting clover as a cover plant.
I would love to.
Oh, my clover has come in, and it looks so good.
Holy shit, it looks so lush.
I will, okay, because I've tried, this is the second year I've tried, and it actually took this year, and I used a tri-blend of clover,
because
some clover does better in the sun, some does better in shade, some does better with partial.
Your last blend was a doesn't try clover?
The first one was just like, well, all right. Yep. But so the tri-blend, like a form of clover will grow.
Yeah.
It was just so good.
That's a great plan.
I will get you a bag of that.
I am also trying to figure out, walkways and things like that. I'm going to have to dig like a half a foot down and probably 2 feet across all the way from the house out to the garage and the porch and... to the trash bins, and I am not
looking forward
super
to that.
Looking forward to that. No,
yeah,
but it will make a nice walkway. It will make a walkway that is also easy to remove if we ever want to install a ramp or if we ever want to, you know, do whatever out there. But
that's not.
Yeah. But yeah, we have a couple of rabbits that dash through the lawn a couple of times a day, probably. And I'm a little bit nervous that my plants are just going to get murdered before they ever live. But also, you know, I'm trying to balance this desire to like fend them off somehow, or like make them unwelcome, with this idea that if I'm doing things properly, there's more than enough. They can get whatever and fuck off, and as long as they're not, you know, eating absolutely everything, that we don't have to worry. I'm trying to. I'm trying to figure out what my feelings are, because I also don't want to be one of those people that's like, this is my garden, you can fuck off, natural creature. I'm trying to...
Right?
Like, I feel differently, you know, once you get inside the walls of the house, that's different.
Sure.
But outside, it's not just my space.
Sure. I mean...
They don't pay rent, but also, you know...
I mean, I personally don't have anything outside that I'm opposed to them really getting into. Like, if rabbits want to come eat my clover lawn...
Sure.
Have at. Do the thing. Yeah. I don't have foodstuffs. If you put in the extra effort to have foodstuffs... Mm-hmm. You are allowed to do things to try to prevent animals from getting to your foodstuffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about
it. Yeah. And I've put up...
And not mice. Mice are...
Nope.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to do anything and everything to get rid of those fuckers.
Yes.
So the... I am trying to find the balance between nurturing gentility and stewardship, you know, on one side, and then on the other side, just like a fucking prison compound for vegetables. So it's, you know.
I mean, a raised bed is definitely one way to go.
Yeah.
Unless you have deer, in which case. But that keeps the rabbits out of it.
Yeah. So. We were talking about that stuff and just the expense and time and whatnot is not for this.
Definitely. Year. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that's one way to go.
It is. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're also doing is just making sure that we don't have a bunch of like super tall grass and overhanging leaves and things like that, that make really good patches for rabbits to hide.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're close enough to the river here that we have deer, rabbits, raccoons, the whole fucking nine yards. So we have to put in fences and use the stinky, you know, stuff and the reflectors and all that other stuff. Right. Otherwise, if I could afford to rip out our entire yard and replace it with clover, like a clover or what is it, carabia or whatever that's called. It's like a broadleaf that stays close to the ground.
Hostas.
Hostas. Just like a little mini hosta. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
I would. But I also, like, part of me rails against the whole, like, French manicured lawn, you know, I'm rich enough to afford grass that isn't meant for our agricultural, and I think that's stupid. Mm-hmm. And I also think front yards are worthless.
They are.
But at the same time, that's the world I fucking live in.
Yeah.
So I would love to have a yard that I never have to fucking do anything about.
My neighbors are all killing off their lawns and replacing them with clover and various... Like,
it's just time consuming and expensive.
Local
it
plants.
Is. So, and honestly, I wouldn't have done it with my yard. Except for a few different factors, right? Like it was mostly dead when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
It was slightly alive. but and then my landlord put the path in.
Yeah.
Which just tore it up.
Yeah.
And then the third factor is I don't have a lot of yard. So I basically was gifted a blank slate of not a lot of work.
Yep. Yeah.
And then it happened. So.
I can only imagine a fucking trial it would be to mow that, like, postage stamp of lawn.
Right.
Like, god damn.
Turn it on.
And into the garage again.
We have a weed whacker.
Yeah.
So we'll just, when we want to trim it in another weeds. Month...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We'll just use the weed whacker.
Yeah. But again, it's clover, so...
Somebody you broke into my garage and stole just the electric trimmer, the batteries, and the charger for it.
Somebody really needed an electric trimmer.
Yeah, nothing else. Mm. We've got an electric mower, those batteries, untouched. Yeah. The charger for that, still there, which is great.
So they're going to have to come back to charge the battery.
No, they took the charger for the trimmer.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I have a trimmer using for anything except for, like, Fest campground cleanup stuff once a year. So if you want mine, you can just have it.
I might.
Yeah.
I might do that.
We'll talk.
Yeah.
I just asked to be able to borrow it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For campground stuff.
Absolutely. That's
it. We're going to rip out a chunk of our lawn and replace it with a bee sanctuary at some point here. My wife got a grant.
One thing I'm not allergic to.
Your wife
got
a grant. Got a grant. Oh,
yep.
Excellent.
So we'll be putting in a bee sanctuary in our yard.
That's wonderful.
But, I mean, it's still going to be a small percentage of the expanse of lawn that I still have to fucking mow.
A little bit at a time. Just murder off a little bit of grass every year and replace it with something good.
Yeah, just in stripes.
Yeah.
I'm sure my neighbors would
just
love that.
Just the word fuck. Is made out of out of clover subtlety. Yep. Thy name is salsa.
Nope, you're incorrect in your assessment, James.
Oh, my mistake. Mm. Yeah, but that was the bulk of my week. Doing my best to figure out household stuff. But we've got it to a place where we like having people over to visit and. Mm-hmm. It is becoming increasingly comfortable and swanky, and it feels very good. Yeah.
Good. It was a weekend for my son. He got his blue belt in Kung Fu on Friday.
Wow.
His birthday was on Wednesday.
Wow.
And so we had parties on Saturday and family on Sunday. And it was a grand old time. Mm. So very proud of him for the hard work he's done in getting that belt. The semester is over right now, so we've got a couple weeks off before the summer. Summer session starts up again, and we start working towards that second degree blue. He's worked really hard on that, and I'm proud of him. And school's almost over. They're in their final week, and my daughter's going to graduate from elementary and be a middle schooler.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
that's terrifying.
But then we had, like I said, we had family over on Sunday. And then after the family left, I came downstairs to watch the PWHL game.
Yeah.
Game 4. Minnesota, Boston. Minnesota needed to win in order to get the title, and Boston needed to win in order to push for a game 5. And then, game was over and it was scoreless and we went to overtime. And then we went to second overtime. And then Minnesota scores. Until they didn't. It went in and they called it a goal, but then they reviewed it and goaltender interference. No goal.
Aw, damn it.
Yeah.
That is.
Which meant. On the Boston side, they tasted defeat and didn't like it. And on the Minnesota side, they were already celebrating and dumped their adrenaline.
Crushed, yeah.
And now they've got to go back, and they're already...
Yeah.
They've already shed that, tension, and they couldn't
keep it, and Boston scored then very quickly afterwards. So it's going to game five.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Going to game five. Winner take all. And,
one of my favorite memes around this.
Wait,
has
how many games are there? Five?
Best of five.
Best of five. So this is it.
This is it. This is
somebody's
it.
Taking it one way or the other.
No matter who wins, this is it.
When is the game?
Wednesday. And Porter and I were messaging each other throughout the whole game. Just like, holy shit, did you see that? Fuck, I'm just, oh. Like, it's getting into overtime, and he and I are messaging. We're like, I'm losing my shit right now, man.
Yeah, so. I did look up the score.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah. Oh. I bet Salsa would be a bit bummed about that.
Yeah, it was real good. Like I said,
more hockey.
We scored, and they said it was a goal, and they celebrated, and then like I'm watching, I'm screaming at my TV like, aah! And then like the referee goes over and puts the headphones on, and I'm like, no, oh no,
don't take my lollipop away.
And then they showed the replay, and I was like, oh no, oh no, this is, oh no, this is, yeah, that's the right call. So that was disappointing.
This has been an incredibly exciting season.
It has been a ridiculously fantastic season.
Yeah.
I almost was at that game. Like, I was going to buy tickets to this game, but then we had family over for my son's birthday, and I was like, I can't.
Can't really justify
I'm
that.
I'm not
going
to be that asshole.
One of my favorite memes around this has been, when do you think Minnesota is going to get a professional men's team?
Oh, that's really good. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's good.
But then today was Memorial Day. The kids were not home, and it rained all day, so we didn't go outside. And so we did fucking spring cleaning. We were like, both of you kids, go upstairs in your room. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be with my son in his room to keep him on task. My wife is in the room with my daughter to keep her on task. We are fucking cleaning everything. That's everything under the bed coming out, everything in the drawers coming out, you know, closet emptied. We're doing the whole nine yards. Every single bit of clothing that is in the laundry or on the floor or, you know, stuck in a basket in the back of your closet.
Crammed between the blinds and the window.
Yeah, exactly, because my kids, instead of putting laundry away, just put the basket in the closet, because now it's not their problem.
Sure, I get this. Yeah. That makes all the sense.
Yeah,
to
no,
me.
But I mean, it is quite literally one of those delayed gratification things where it's just like, I just want to go play now and don't think about, I am still going to have to do this later.
Mm-hmm.
But that's later me's problem.
Yeah, that's
problem.
Later me problem. Yeah.
So, they're just bits of clothes. Some of it folded in their closet. It's just like, oh, for Christ's sake. But yeah, there's everything, even the clean stuff in the dressers, like every single scrap of clothing that they own. If it was laundry, if it was dirty, it went downstairs to be washed. The washing machine has been going nonstop all day.
Oh my God.
I've got a timer on my phone. As soon as the timer went off, like, I came down here, cycled it through, so as soon as it was done, another load was going in, and we washed everything, and all of the clean clothes came down to the living room, and we went through it, and we're like, winter clothes gets put into bins, stuff that doesn't fit you anymore gets put into a Goodwill pile, stuff that's got holes and shit like that in goes into the trash. We're doing a fucking cull. It's cull day, bitches. So because the kids were like, we can't put our clothes away because it won't fit in our dresser. That's what it is. And it's like, okay, well, now this won't be a problem.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And guess what? That's more work.
Yeah. But yeah, we're not even done. There's still like a couple baskets of laundry that still need to end.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's just been nonstop all day. So I'll be, as I'm working today or tomorrow, I'll be popping in there every hour or so to put another load in, and we'll continue the process tomorrow. But it has been closet cull day.
Okay.
So.
Ah, buddy.
And it felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Yay.
Because they're both getting so big. You know what I mean? Like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah, it's messed up.
I hate it.
Yeah, that's garbage. Like, Jessa did it, too. Yeah. I'm mad about
like,
that.
You're like, I didn't sign up for this. Like, I had kids.
I've got t-shirts that I've had for 20 years. They still fit me. What is this bullshit? What do you mean it doesn't fit you anymore?
Oh, that nonsense. Part. That part also, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no, you. I just bought this shirt for you 2 years ago. What do you mean it doesn't fit you?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at my t-shirt collection. It's getting pretty grim. I need to.
Did I tell you about? Okay, so.
Yeah, I need to do a poll as well.
There's a t-shirt. I started gaining more weight about 5 years ago, mm-hmm. right? But there was this t-shirt that I had since high school. Also that.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this t-shirt that I had had since high school. And this is before the weight gain. And it used to have, like, some kind of saying right across the chest. I don't even remember what it was. And, like, I go to put it on, and I'm like, oh, God, I think it's getting small because, like, the writing is, like, riding up.
It's, like, under your neck.
Yeah, like, it's no longer across where my nipples are at, mm-hmm. which is where it used to sit. And then I realized, oh, wait, no. It's not that the t-shirt is riding up. It's that gravity is doing its job on my breasts. And I was like, oh, son of a bitch. Like, yep. They're still relatively perky, and I'm very pleased with them overall, especially now that they exist. But, like, yeah, it is a thing. It happens to mm-hmm. everyone.
Yeah.
God damn it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I definitely, like, a couple years back, I went through and took all of my juggling shirts out of rotation and put them away because I'm going to turn them into a quilt or something
that. I have t-shirts from various things I used to do that... Mm-hmm. Are in the exact same state.
Yeah, I've got
Minnesota to be exact.
I've got concert shirts that I want to do that too. I've got old video game shirts. I've got you know, stuff.
That'd be cool.
From fun places that I've worked.
Yeah,
that I would like to have that made into a quilt. But yeah, they need to be out of circulation because one, they're only going to get like tons of holes in them, and two. They're done. They've earned rest.
Mm-hmm. Well, I also, like, when I worked at the place we all worked at.
That one place.
Like, that place.
The place that shall not be named.
Yeah, we all, you know, it was, we were allowed to wear whatever we fucking wanted to.
Absolutely. Because
it was, you know, in a...
We're not fucking impressing any clients.
Yeah, it was.
Or ourselves, really.
Yeah, it was a nondescript building over, you know,
by
the fucking river. So I wore just
you
t-shirts.
Got paid in a paper bag too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, course. Good. Uh-huh. Good.
Yeah. I mean, it was
literally
a
under the table.
It was a grocery bag. I don't know what size bag you were using, but,
I
not only did I wear t-shirts, I purposefully got more.
Yeah, and like nerdy t-shirts.
Went to Goodwill and found nerdy. Like the t-shirt I'm wearing right now is a nerdy t-shirt. I got
this. It literally says I'm not always as nerdy and has Superman on it.
Yeah. So it's like that. This video game t-shirts, you know, things like that. I purposely went to Goodwill and got those while I worked at this job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now I have a real job. You know, I just don't wear t-shirts as much as I used to.
Yeah.
So t-shirts. Here's the thing. So I've gotten myself some t-shirts, and we've talked about how I've grown a couple sizes. Mm-hmm. T-shirt sizes specifically. Mm-hmm. I used to be a small. Now I'm an XL, maybe an L, depending.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And like, the thing is, so I'll buy t-shirts for the size I have in my brain, which is like a medium.
Yeah.
Maybe a large. And I need to bump it up one, right?
Sure.
So I get these t-shirts and I put them on and I'm like, God damn it. It's like, I can still wear them. It's just snugger than I wanted.
Yeah.
Joe will buy me t-shirts. And I think in his mind, I'm still the belly dancer he met 13 years ago. And that was a tiny slip of a thing.
Yeah.
So he buys me a t-shirt knowing that I'm bigger than I used to be. Like, he's got that conceptually, but he's buying me a medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not... I can't. Nope. Mm-hmm. This is way too.
Like, this is a leg warmer.
Yeah. Like, I mean, maybe one day I'll get back there. I'm never getting back to this mall. That's not happening, and I kind of don't want to. Mm-hmm. I like my breasts. They're great. Didn't have those when I wore a small.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love
that. Salsa's refusing to high-five me on this.
What?
Yeah. Oh.
What are we?
My breasts, I think? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't.
Okay. That was all.
It's weird.
That was just... contextually, it made more sense. It makes less sense now.
Sure. Anyway, but yeah, like those t-shirts, I'm like, that's it. Yeah. But that is a weird thing to think about, though, is how you visualize yourself versus like your historical use or what you think you look like, whether it's actuality or not kind of stuff, right?
One of the things that I've read, because I spent a lot of my youth being the wrong size for functionally fucking everything in Old Navy and, you know, wherever, whatever Kmart, whatever Target, whatever place we were shopping for stuff. What I read made a lot of sense. It was that if you want clothing that makes you look and feel good, get clothing that is too big for you and have it tailored. It's more expensive, but it's apparently super, super worth it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
One of the reasons that, like, celebrities look fantastic all the time is that everything they own is tailored. Even if it comes off the rack, it goes immediately to a tailor's and is then custom fitted for them.
I had a friend of mine who started a business and that... Jenna.
Same. She used to be my shopper.
Yeah. She unfortunately doesn't do that anymore. But
yeah, and she's my financial advisor.
Same. Yeah.
Ours as well. But
yeah. And ours. Yeah.
Cheers.
All right.
But yeah, and when she started, it was just basically like very inexpensive, but we're going to get you clothes that fit you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Because, and I mean, fashion, is, I mean, they're going to make sizes that fit as many people as possible.
Right.
And so you just kind of get a bag.
In a way, it also kind of doesn't fit anybody as a
result. Yep. Exactly.
Right. Yep.
Me, thankfully, I don't give a fuck. So I'll wear whatever.
I also tend to wear very utilitarian things, and those don't need to fit particular ways.
I could be wearing stripes and polka dots together, and I would not care.
Yeah, apparently that's a thing. However, have a bizarre body to shop for and a job where if I do go into the office, which at that point I was, I have to look pretty fucking pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And put together, which is why I trusted my friend with this, because she's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do, you know, I'm on Zoom calls with clients all the time on camera, so I need to...
You need to look good from here
up. At least from the nipples up, look like I'm put together.
Is there... Did the text across the nipples write up at all, or is it still across the nipples?
Oh, no text on my shirts. I'm sorry. What kind of company do you think I work for?
I'm just picturing the kinds of companies that would hire you.
Oh, that's very fair.
Touché.
That's extremely fair.
Touché. I am a really good bullshitter.
I believe that.
I have been a stage performer for many years and know how to make myself sound good.
I mean, more or less, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love the look, like, are you guys buying it?
So, if I don't sound convinced, it's only because I'm not.
No.
Yep.
I don't care about you.
Yeah.
That's...
We've met.
Yep.
All right.
Should we take a break?
Yeah.
That sounds great.
All right. We're going to take a break. Sweet. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
I can also order a lemonade. It's very exciting.
the lemonade itself or the ordering?
Well, if it's a French lemonade, it is probably pretty exciting.
And we're back. Oh, so, so.
James. And I'm Jenna.
Wow.
What kind of French lemonade do you have for us now, James?
Well, I was thinking about this. Several people have been introducing folks in our friend group to comfort movies and things like that. We've discussed comfort movies and comfort foods before, but I'm wondering about introducing people to things. The essential something of who you are. I've got things, tons of movies and things like that, especially, where I'm like, yeah, watching this will help you understand who I am as a person. Or in order for us to communicate well, or for you to get half of the references that I make, I need you to watch this thing.
Sure.
Yeah. I feel like watching this will make you a more complete person, which is, I think, a much more difficult claim to make, but
well, I mean, sure.
I know that it's a feeling that some people have.
A thing that's important to you.
Yeah.
For various reasons. Mm-hmm. But you also believe may give somebody insight into who you are or have a better understanding of you.
Yeah. Jax was listening to one of the earliest They Might Be Giants albums and was suddenly like, oh. Well, all right. So much of you makes more sense now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does. For me, I would say that there are a couple of things that I find pretty essential. Some of them are video games, where, like, if I want to spend time with somebody, especially, and this is maybe weirder, but romantically, I'm like, I would like you to play this video game. Because it's important. It's emotionally important to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Like,
I think that phrase in and of itself says just about everything we need to know about you.
It says a lot. It does say a lot.
Right.
If you want to be romantically involved with me, play this video game.
Or just like this experience was really important to me, and I want to share this with other people who are important to me.
I mean,
Blues Brothers is one.
I guess like
I was gonna say you introduced me to Steven Universe.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. Oh buddy.
Yes,
that one is important.
Yes, it is.
And yeah, that was. And especially at the time in my life,
oh, wow,
where I was going through all of the shit, and you were like, have happy, fluffy cartoon, but with heart. And I was like, oh, yes, this is in 20-minute increments. I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I think maybe the closest I can think of to if you watch this, you will understand me more is British panel shows.
Sure.
Okay.
But I just want more people to watch them because they're funny, not necessarily because they
you know what? Meaningful. I find that statement to be fully believable.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I see what you did there.
That's calling back to an era of the podcast that no longer exists.
I pulled for that one. I'm still pretty happy with it.
It was good. I appreciate it.
Yeah, but like I said, I don't know if it is like something that I need people to like. I want people to watch it because it makes me laugh, but it's not like this is some deep emotional like me-ness. I also am way too shallow for that sort of thing. Yeah, I'd say British panel shows.
Okay.
Just genre rather than a specific show.
I found out about one at the fencing booth because somebody made a reference to it, and somebody else, you know, made the response reference, because there lots of references, especially in nerd culture, are a call and response, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
But it was from the court jester, and I had been working there for like 4 fucking years. I had no idea. I had never seen it.
Mm.
And then when Riga found out...
Is it the vessel with the pestle?
It was a vessel with the pestle reference. Yeah.
Flagon mm-hmm. with the dragon.
Yeah. And he looked at me and he was like, you have homework. You need to watch this tonight. Like, don't wait. Find it. Watch it.
Right.
Several times, come back. Yeah. And everyone else was like, yes, this is extremely important. And they were right. It is. It's, god damn, that's good.
Well, but mm-hmm. For me, I grew up out at Fest, and so there are a few phrases from that movie that got used and passed around a lot.
Yeah.
And nobody ever told me to watch it. My parents didn't show it to me, and that's mm-hmm. their failing. But I just stumbled on it one day, and I was like, mm-hmm. oh, this looks interesting. And I watched it, and I went, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah.
I've just always been a fan of Danny Kaye.
Sure.
It was just one of those things that, like, yes, I will. Here's a Danny Kaye movie. Yes, I'll watch it.
Well, so they're like Princess Bride, I think, mm-hmm. especially in our friend groups. Monty Python, Quest for the Holy Grail is probably high up there.
Yeah. I think some of these are ones that used to be more important.
Sure.
But as time has passed, they've become less important mm-hmm. because there are new references and mm-hmm. new, and even like new shared ideals, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like
cultural touchstones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I would say that, like, when I was younger, mm-hmm. if you hadn't seen Princess Bride, you were going to hear the entirety of it from me. whether I intended to share it with you or not, right. It was just going to happen. But
yeah,
now,
it may not be in order, but you will at some point have heard all the lines.
I rarely quote Princess Bride now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Inconceivable is timeless.
Have fun storming the castle.
Have fun storming
that
the castle.
That one gets said a lot.
But, like, I used to say way more stuff way more often, and now I just don't.
I think I made a... Did I make... I definitely made a mostly dead reference tonight.
Tonight,
you, earlier
yeah.
tonight.
But was it
yeah,
in the podcast? Were we
I don't remember.
Yeah. But you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Listeners will be sad to find out that we actually converse outside of the podcast.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. The video games that I would say that I tend to be like, please hear.
Please game this video.
Yes. Are things like Journey and Link's Awakening and those things. Those are things that are important to me. And I understand that, and this is, I think, critical, is understanding that some people are just not going to want the thing.
I'll watch somebody else play it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
That'll work. But, like, yeah, I'm probably not going to play really old games that are mm-hmm. in any way, shape, or form. Platform or to a certain extent like certain types of action games, the killing the boss stuff, like I don't get mm-hmm. into that anymore, but like I'll watch somebody else play it if I think it's really important to someone, so
sure,
you know, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact I've had relationships where a person would be like, I want you to play this game, and I'm like, I'm probably not gonna play that game, it's a platformer, I'm not in. And then they would be like, oh, well, you can watch me play it. And I'm like, yes, I will absolutely do that. Because now I get
mm-hmm.
to participate in the journey with this person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Which is good. Yeah.
And not have any of the frustration of failing at a game I didn't want to play in the first place.
Jack's
you know?
Kind of had that thing with playing Halo. My first experience playing Halo was co-op with a friend who was like, you have to play this? And I was like, no, isn't it kind of like a big, dumb shooter? And he was like, I'm bringing my Xbox.
Yes, but no.
Yeah. You don't have plans tomorrow.
You're not wrong, but you're incomplete.
We're playing through the campaign tonight. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing.
It's a fun story. Great. It's good gameplay.
And he was right. And it opened all kinds of doors for me. But I also get things like people can't do that because of motion sickness or because of sight issues or because of, you know, whatever it is. Cool. That's just fine.
Sure.
I think a TV show that is more than one season is a similar investment.
It is.
Like, if you are saying, I need to watch this with you, I feel like that's a similar investment.
And during the pandemic, like, that was a great time to share those kinds of things. Like, Joe and Stargate. I basically Joe and I watched all of Stargate. All of it.
Yeah.
Oh, buddy. I was like, how long are we watching this? He's like, either until we get through it all or the pandemic ends. And I really, for a while, thought that we were going to end the pandemic before we got through the rest of Stargate.
There is so much. There is so much Stargate.
So much Stargate. But, like, that's the thing. We, during that period of time when, you know, Joe and I were only seeing each other, and also my daughter, who was trying to hide from everything because she's like, but we watched so much stuff, and we got to share various things. Stargate, he made me watch Stargate. I made him watch Babylon 5.
Oh my God, I love Babylon 5.
Oh, it's so good. It is so good. And like, I guess Joe and I really needed to watch a bunch of 90s sci-fi during the pandemic. But like, and there would be other things. Joe then got me to watch Fringe, which I hadn't seen. And then he and I watched Lucifer, which was delicious candy.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, God. So bad and so good. but like, yeah, we actually spent that time going through a whole bunch of these kind of shows where it's like, by watching this, you will have a better understanding of me in some way, shape, or form, whether it is things that I like, things that I quote, but also having conversations about certain shows, too.
Yeah.
There is something about being able to discuss, oh, I really like what they did here. No, I hated that. I thought it was cool when they did this thing. And to be able to have those conversations. And I almost feel like the conversations are more important.
Oh, definitely.
Because you get a much better understanding of what makes the other person's brain tick.
Well, because that's the other thing. Like, there's the, I enjoy this thing, and I would like to share that enjoyment with you. There's the, you will understand me more by watching this, or in, you know, taking in this media, experiencing this. And then the third thing is, I want to experience this thing retroactively with you to get your view on it, to understand how it looks to you, how you see it.
Yeah, my wife and I do that with theater. We'll go to like the Guthrie or something like that and discuss it on the way home. I feel like,
have people shared things like that with you, even if you aren't like you, the story of Salsa is written in these comic
but
books.
Like I'm yes, people have done that, and it can hit different ways. If people are like, oh, this is a really cool thing, this is the reference that I just made, and you should look into it, I'm just like, cool, I will do that. But when somebody says, you have to do this thing, that, in my brain, instantly means, well, that's never happening.
Yeah, I've told you to have a good day.
Yeah.
I understand.
Not happening.
Yeah, I do also get kind of defensive on some things like that.
Yeah, it's like, you
don't tell me what to do.
This is a necessity for you to, you have to do this. Like, if we're going to be in a relationship, you have to do this. Like, then we're not going to be.
Yeah.
Because that's not the way this works. If you were excited about a thing and want to share it,
I will. Yeah, let's do it. But it's just like, this is a necessity in order to be in a relationship with me. It's like, then we're not.
So Bill and I got married. I don't know if you remember this. It was in 2010.
Never heard of
this. Is a thing. Oh. Okay. Oh, sad. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God. It has been a while. Fuck.
You were never married. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Oh. Oh, look, I'm sure somewhere Bill is laughing his ass off with you. I'm just like, oh, God, my heart. Anyway, so Bill and I got married, and we went on our honeymoon. And that was when he learned that I had never seen Defending Your Life.
Oh?
Which is apparently one of those super important movies to him. Right? Huh. He's like, this is the meaning of life. This is the holy grail of movies.
Mm. Huh.
So we watched it on the honeymoon, but one of the things he was like, wife!
Oh, God.
Because he called me wife like that all the time after we got married.
Oh, God.
He's like, wife, you're watching this movie with me now! And I was like, oh, am I, sir? And he was like, yes! And I was like, what are you going to do if I don't? He's like, divorce! I'm like, no. No, you don't have the money to divorce me. but we did watch it, and it was wonderful. I see what he loved about it, and I see why it was important to him. But I do also get that gut thing of don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, well, and like I know my wife has talked in the past about like one of her exes who is just like obsessed with this one movie, watch this movie all the time, and she's like, I fucking hate that movie. I cannot stand that movie. This movie is fucking awful.
Yeah.
I hate it. And it was just like, so like when that relationship ended, she was like, at least I don't have to watch this fucking movie.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm like, there are certain shows that Joe and I watch together. And certain shows that we do not.
Exactly.
Yes. Yep.
I have never tried to convince Joe to watch Bridgerton with me. not his thing.
My wife invited me to watch Outlander with her.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And sure. I gave it the college try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't get into it. And she was like, I get it. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
She was enjoying it. I wasn't. And then she was like, I wish we could watch it together, but I get it.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that happens. Like, Joe really wanted me to watch The Bear with him. And it, like, here's the thing. I look at it and I'm like, I can see where this is a very well-crafted television series.
Sure.
Right? It's very good. I also see why Joe likes it. Because he works in the industry and he's a very intense dude. I watched it, and I was like, well, now my anxiety's up.
Jesus
because
Christ.
Every 15 seconds was like a go, 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 go. People yelling and all this other stuff, and I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So, and I did, I tried watching two, and I was like, nope, I'm never going to be able to get through this.
A coworker of mine has a three-episode rule, and he's like, if I do not feel compelled to watch more of it after three episodes, if I'm not, like, hungry for the next... I'm not going to fucking watch it.
That was Parks and Rec for me.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, because you're also a completionist. You start at...
at the beginning.
You start at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And lots of people... It's just, oh, my God, there are so many shows where people are like...
But if I start in the middle, I won't fucking know what's going on.
I ended up joining Parks and Rec as an audience member, like, five episodes into the second season. And I fucking love it.
I don't know how you could do
that. I went back and, like, after watching all of it that there is, I went back to watch the first season just to, like, wrap it around and catch the whole Asteroid screen.
And the first season was a little rough.
Mm-hmm. I would have stopped. I did stop watching the first season. Mm-hmm. I can't stand it.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say, though, is there, like... All joking aside, I'm a curmudgeon who hates everything. All joking aside, one thing that legitimately rubs me the wrong way is when people make references their entire personality.
Yeah. Yes, I'm standing right here, Salsa.
I was about to say, he's on the podcast.
I mean,
that doesn't make him hate it less.
But the thing is because I don't
understand that James is making a reference because it's so fucking obscure.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like he's saying nonsense.
I mean, and sometimes he is just saying nonsense.
Exactly. So it's hard to tell.
Kind of a nonsense cartoon.
Exactly. Boy. So with him, because it's so obscure, I don't realize he's doing it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people who only speak in Simpsons lines.
I was about to say, every quote is a Simpsons quote.
Like, or a Family Guy line.
At one point, my ex podcast, one of the co-hosts, his entire comedic styling was referencing Family Guy.
Yeah.
To the point where we had a swear jar,
mm-hmm.
and it was just $1 every Family Guy quote.
Yep.
Sure.
You can quote, I don't give a shit if it's The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's, you can quote anything else, but if you quote Family Guy.
Yep. Like,
yeah.
I get it. If something triggers you and you say, you know, do you think it'll work? It would take a miracle. Like right. I get it.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And, like,
that happens.
The occasional quotes are good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like spices. Yeah. Like, don't dump all of the cayenne in the pot.
But I definitely know some people who just speak almost fucking exclusively in mm-hmm. references to things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, get a personality, please. of your own, a personality that isn't a reference to something else.
Right.
So. After, I think we got up into like $500 in the swear jar.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was making his own jokes. Like, he was, he was telling his own fucking jokes.
Yeah.
It was great. And he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's a smart dude.
Yeah.
He needed to know.
Yep.
It seems a little mean, but out of affection for him, I wanted to see more of his humor and less of Seth MacFarlane's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where, I come down on a lot of that. Like, you have to see this in order to understand me. It's like, why can't I just understand you instead of
sure.
who you are in relation to...
Why are you hiding behind the screen?
Which is exactly
why...
I don't want to know who you are in relation to this other thing that
when
was made.
Are you the great
powerful Oz?
I mean, like, I am, but that's beside the
when
point.
When I do pitch these things now, I...
What was this? My wife said earlier, she looked up from her phone, and she was like, oh, that's interesting. The Wizard of Oz. It's a woman has to fix a bunch of broken men before she can figure out her own shit.
That is
Jesus so good.
Christ. Holy
that
shit.
That is so fucking good.
Yeah. Entire plot of Alien is you should have listened.
Hold on. Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, last year we did cosplay together, and your wife was Dorothy, and I'm like... Oh no, she really she really understands that
mm-hmm.
character.
Yep. No, she has fully embodied.
Yeah.
Anyway,
when I used to pitch these things, you know, as a younger dumbass, I would say, like, you got to watch this, you've got to see this thing. Oh mm-hmm. yeah, that's essential viewing. You have homework, you got to see this.
Yep.
You know, whatever, that kind of thing. And that has changed to, like, hey, I love this movie. It was a big deal for me. I don't know if you're gonna like it.
Well, I think that honestly, I'm gonna.
Do you want to see this?
I'm gonna fight on this one just a little bit. I think mm-hmm. that, especially 10 years ago,
mm-hmm.
We as a society spoke in more hyperbole.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Wow.
You have to watch this, or else.
Right.
It was a statement of, oh my god, this is such an amazing thing.
You literally have to watch this.
I think this would be great for you to watch. It wasn't, I think a lot of times we would say those things in a hyperbolic way.
Oh.
The problem is that many of us either are or have friends who are neurodivergent. And when we hear the literal words, you have to watch this.
We spectrumy few, band of brothers.
Yes.
Speaking of which, band of brothers, you get.
But no, if
it's
somebody says,
it's free,
you have to watch this, what we hear is, you have to watch this.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird how we listen to those words and hear the exact words being used and decide that that's the meaning behind it, right?
Yes.
What other meaning could there be?
But no, I think that hyperbole used to be way more popular
10
years ago. Oh, my God. I'm gonna fucking end you. That one's not hyperbole, by the way. I will end you.
I'm aware.
We don't know when.
I believe it's pronounced hyperbole.
Okay.
No, that's when they turn off the lights and have the black lights on and all the stars are glowing on the lanes.
Mm.
Is it? Is that
for the purposes of this joke? Yes.
I don't actually know what that is.
Oh, they actually, a lot of bowling alleys have like black light paint stuff on the.
Alleys.
So you could like have a rave at a bowling alley,
kind of, a little bit.
Yeah, and you're just like bowling functionally in the dark, but the pins are glow in the dark.
There's enough glow to see what you're doing, right, and it's got just
It's usually called a cosmic bowling or something like that.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. I'm making it's
okay.
Yeah,
I bowl like once a year.
So
and usually by accident. I'm usually tricked into it by
Yeah.
Is that or it's part of the bargain that it's his Faustian bargain.
he's like, once a
year. Look, Satan, I want a hot wife who's really smart. And Satan's like, do you like bowling? No. Have I got a deal for you?
I mean, I talked him down from golf, so.
Goddamn! All right,
good.
Well, fucking played. Should we wrap?
Dear listeners, is there a medium that speaks to you that in many ways defines you, or not defines you, but is embodies much of what makes you, and people would kind of go, oh, I get it now. When you say, you know, look at this and then look at me.
and now look at the horse. And now look at me. I'm the horse your boyfriend's armpit could be.
Again.
What a reference.
Or you could just have your own personality instead of what James is doing right there.
In this economy.
Actually, no, that was a really good reference.
No, it wasn't really good. I just got to rip on him a little bit. But yeah. We all have our things. And mine is ripping on James.
Salsa's like, look, correct. You've got to rip on James at least once to understand.
Once a year. Otherwise, I don't get my hot wife.
Faustian bargain, yeah. Good.
If I rip on James once a year, can I have a hot wife too?
Call 666-666 and you too can have a hot wife. Mm-hmm. For the low payment of ripping on James.
Jesus Christ.
In.
Yeah.
I mean,
look, Faust standards
like
have really
like
dropped.
I feel like I'm about to get a lot of business here.
I would do it for free, but if I can get a hot wife out of the deal.
There have been times where I've gone to insult somebody and I'm like, I do this professionally now. I'm not giving it to you for free.
Anyway, go to the Discords. You know what to do. Type in the thoughts that you're having and then press the little arrow that makes them go to the internet so other people can read it. We're going to take a break.
Thanks, Grandma.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Penn was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpenn.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Well, you have been, old man.
I have.
I'm a while.
I've been doing this since before it was cool. And then after it was cool. Never during it was cool.
It's... Yeah.
I went straight from before to after. I was never in the cool area.
Yeah, I don't think
Look, anywhere I am is cool. So you did technically start it before it was cool.
But anywhere I am is automatically uncool, so do we just cancel each other out?
No, it's like pasta and antipasta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get that. Great. Are we back?
We're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Wow.
It is time for antipasta. In the form of a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Today's Fast Five comes to us from... James!
Gasp.
Aww.
I'm surprised. Are you surprised?
I know that guy.
I'm surprised.
I'm shocked.
All right. Tonight's Fast Five
comes to us from James.
Number one. Care or total?
I prefer Care Bears to Total Bears.
Oh, God. I hate Care Bears. I've done the Care Bear rant. Don't make me do it again.
But, but a Total Bear?
No, nope. I'd rather have a total bear.
He was
Thank
a
you.
Total bear.
I'd rather have a total bear.
Yeah.
The whole bear.
Or total. Care package or a total package? Care package or
yes,
total package?
Yes, that makes sense.
There we go. The total package.
Oh, God. Can I have them both in one, please?
Have I ever told you my care package story?
I don't know that you have.
I got to college. My freshman year of college. Get to college. You know, you've been to college. Couple weeks go by, all my friends started getting care packages from their parents, you know, cookies and stuff like that. And they're like, here's some
Did
cookies.
Did you get half a cow?
No.
It's a dorm fridge. What the fuck are you thinking?
No, I was on the phone with my mother, and I was like, and just giving her shit. I was like, yeah, so everybody else is getting these care packages with cookies. When am I going to get my cookies? And she's like, I taught you how to make cookies. Make them yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I did.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, instead of a care package, they gave you self-sufficiency.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, total package. Because that's what I am.
See, I think the thing is, like, both are great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm skipping over that and not paying attention to that at all. But I think if something is the total package, there's also care involved. Because to me, a total package is also caring. That's a part of it being a total package. So I'm going to go total package for that.
Very nice.
Yeah.
All of this talk of package...
Also, I'm greedy.
it reminded me that I was accidentally correct about something incredibly fucking insane and stupid.
I'm shocked.
And you know how sometimes I joke about something and then it comes true and it's the weirdest? In college, I was watching Labyrinth with friends and we noticed that Sir Didymus in close-ups is two Muppets. Is a Muppet dog and a Muppet dog knight.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then in the distance shots, it's like a dog knight figure on top of a real fucking dog.
Yes.
Yep.
Right. So I started joking that David Bowie had a Muppet stunt package because we then started talking about David Bowie's package in the tights and everything in the codpiece. And I was like, oh, yeah, in the up close shots, it's a Muppet stunt package. In the distance shots, it's really David Bowie. But, you know, when he's up close, right, he's got the little sticks and stuff in there. And turns out that's true. That happened.
Like actual Muppet dick?
Sort of. In a weird
Like, was he just
kind of
padded and you're making it out to be a Muppet?
No. He, during the contact juggling scenes, it was somebody else's arms.
It was Michael Motion.
Right.
Sure, yep.
Sticking through.
Yeah, we know that.
And he is a human being and he was going to be attached to this person for several hours, so he decided to make a little cod piece that smelled good for when he broke wind or just had normal human odors. And so he had potpourri tucked into his cod piece, which made it look kind of hilarious.
Mm.
But Jim Henson loved it and decided that he needed to have it for the rest of the film.
Okay.
So in some shots, he does not have the additional padding of the potpourri-filled, Jim Henson-approved codpiece.
All right.
And in some, he definitely does.
For me...
That's not a Muppet. That's a mod piece.
For me, it's additional costuming, not a Muppet. I do understand the concept and all of that, but... But yeah, I think the Muppet bit is a bit much for me. But it is... my question is if there's potpourri near his package, is it bad candy?
Bad candy.
I think anything in David Bowie's package is probably bad candy.
Yeah.
Have you seen, by the way, the behind-the-scenes videos of Michael Motion doing those scenes blind?
No.
It's so cool.
That sounds fucking fascinating.
Like, it took a lot of takes, obviously, because he was doing it without being able to see.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, his face, like, his cheek is pressed against David Bowie's shoulder blade. But he's doing that whole fucking sequence without being able to see what he can do. It's so amazing. But he dropped a lot.
I can imagine.
I believe it. All right.
Yeah, I'm going to choose care. Yeah. All right. Question number two. Happenstance or justify?
I mean, I can justify damn near anything. Doesn't mean that I should, but I can. So I'm going to go justified.
Hmm. Happenstance.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Some things just gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm gonna say happenstance on this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Fast five. Question number three. Figure or shock?
Figure or shock?
Figure or shock?
Figure it out or shock it out. Figure or shock? Do you take the time to figure something out? I'm trying to go in a James brain here.
Sure.
So, do you take the time to figure out how to get through the maze? Or do you get frustrated and barrel your way through getting all of the shocks in the process?
Do you have a nice, attractive figure or a shocking figure?
That does, like, I can definitely see James being like, look, are you pretty or are you pretty? Like,
oh, that's not the kind of shocking I was talking about.
Oh.
I was going with shocking.
Awesome doesn't always mean good.
Yes.
That's
Yep.
Speaking of words changing meaning.
I'm gonna go with I appreciate a good figure.
I like figuring things out. Here we go. Mm-hmm. I prefer horror movies where somebody figures something out rather than horror with a lot of jump scares and shock.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going. I suddenly was hitting on the same thing, but I went in a slightly different direction.
Slightly different direction.
Are you the kind of person who sits there trying to figure out who did it, or do you like to just be surprised?
Yeah,
I like to be surprised.
I figure that shit out.
I don't.
I actually like trying to figure it out as well.
I spend zero brain.
Puzzles.
Yeah, I spend zero brain power trying to figure it out. I just go, I'll find out at the end.
Mm-hmm. So, I usually just accidentally figure it out whether I want to or not.
Well, there's something about like autism brain or like the meta narrative of stuff. Like, they wouldn't mention this cloak if it wasn't part of the puzzle.
There's that kind of stuff, but also like
Chekhov's
because
I've
directed a lot of things before. Like, I know what kind of hints I would drop as a director. So when I'm watching something somebody else has put together, I'm like, well, that is definitely something that's going to come up later. And then, like, before we even get to the... I'm like, oh, because of this thing. Okay, I got it.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just along for the ride.
Yeah, that's okay. Fair. There are some shows that I do that for, too. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Question number four. Digital or paper?
Digital.
Yeah.
Save a tree. Save all of the trees. Also, why
digital
do I want
unless
paper?
It's a
anything?
Book. In which case, I really, really just...
I'm actually fine either way.
The touch and the feel of a book.
Like,
I love the smell.
The feel.
of novels.
The problem is that as my eyesight keeps going, and it's harder and harder for me to read books overall.
That's fair.
Digital, I can make the words bigger.
Yeah. That's very true.
Reading for me is such a sensory experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's that makes sense.
The sound of a page sliding against it as you turn the page, and the smell and the touch and the feel, all of it goes...
it's like you should be a librarian or something.
Bibliosexual, I swear.
God damn it. And he's not allowed you back in any of Bibles? Those libraries.
Did you know... that
he's just lucky that Gideon's left all of them in those hotel rooms.
Bible.
Well, that's why the pit
comes from biblio, but another equally usable and common word in Roman times was bublio. So we almost had the booble.
The holy booble.
So much better.
I'm going to call it that from now on.
Holy booble. Yeah.
There's several copies of the Holy Bible.
The Good News?
God. Actually, one of my favorites is Testament and Testicles having the same root word.
The second testicle of the Bublio.
Yes, thank you. anyway.
Good.
Yeah. Great.
What was it again?
Digital or paper?
Oh, paper.
Yeah. Like, on the thing of books, I still have books, and there are some of my favorites that I will read as books proper, because there's, like, some of the books I grew up with that were my comfort reads in high school, like, it's not the same on digital.
It's true.
It's just not the same experience.
But and I definitely...
If I'm just trying to consume... then digital, all the way. If I am trying to... relax, chill, whatever. If I'm looking for an experience, I guess, then I prefer books if I can manage them.
When I read to fall asleep, I like to use Kindle because I can have the lights off. I can have the lights off. It can be dark, and I don't. But almost every other time, I like, because otherwise I'm fighting with a fucking book light or something, and god damn, I hate that. So, I would choose digital.
All
right. Okay. Question number 5. Metal or page?
Metal or page? I mean...
I want a page.
Just like a person that does things for you?
Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. I wouldn't mind one of those.
I think they're just called assistants now.
I know. It's lame.
Interns.
Yeah.
Executive assistants.
Yeah.
To the friends and family of intern Marco.
When did... apprentice become executive assistant intern.
I don't think those are the same thing.
Executive assistant actually is what secretary.
Sure.
When I was offered a position as an executive assistant, I was like, no. Yeah.
I get no man coffee.
Right. Well, and I think there was a misunderstanding as to the implications behind that, but it was still like, no.
No. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a page that would, you know, sharpen my lance and groom my horse.
Are these euphemisms?
No. Why would you say such a thing, James? They're people too.
The
horses? Horse? No, the God damn it. Yeah, it's usually two of them in one costume. Yeah. One of them's the back end.
Oh, God.
Metal or page? Like, I'm still stuck on the metal part of this. Like, would you rather go to a very loud concert to relax? Would you rather go to a very loud metal concert, or read a book,
or a page concert?
Yes. Or read a book. Yeah, I would read a book. So I'm going to go Paige.
This is a song about grooming a horse. Oh, my master said to curry comb the horse, and so I did. And then he beat me anyway. The end.
Roll out the barrel, roll out the barrel of chainmail in sand.
To get the rust off.
Mm-hmm. Good. All right.
Oh, God.
All right. Here's the fucking context. I don't even know.
Yeah. I don't know that I care, but let's, you know, for the sake of consistency, let's
care
do
or total, what kind of package are you?
Yeah. I am a total package.
Total package.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm a care package in the best of times.
And by total, I mean I'm... Everything's in there.
I tend to show up to fix things.
And the bad.
Yeah.
No, I'm just completely awesome, and I don't know why anybody would think otherwise, so whatever.
Yeah. No, all of the shit, that's also in there. Yep. All of it's in there.
Total package.
That dude is such a package. I mean,
now, to be clear, one other thing, like, if I could pick something that, like, if I died and I could pick what I wanted to be remembered for, how much I cared for others or caring things that I did for others are the things that I would like to have. But I also got dis-ass, so total package.
All right.
I think everybody would have laughed in my face if I said care package, so.
Not in your face,
it's really,
yes.
it's not my oeuvre.
All right. Question number two. Happenstance or justify, would you rather have a story-worthy adventure because something weird just happened to you?
Wow.
Or because you were doing something else and decided something like in for a penny, in for a pound, justifying it?
No, I don't. I want just way, weird actually. Shit to happen.
Yeah, same. I'm not a person who usually goes like, well, as long as I'm, you know, halfway into this, I no sense in being, you know, partially committed. No, weird shit happens to me.
I'm fine either way.
That's the way I prefer it.
I don't have as much weird shit happen to me as I used to, and so that's frustrating. But like. I moved to Uptown and everything, goddammit. But but no, like, I'm...
Maybe we just have better friends now.
It's fine. Mm. Like, I really just... Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't have a preference.
Mm. Yeah.
I do have gas, however.
As do we all. Mm, all right.
Hello, Coke.
Figure or shock? What? When playing a game, like a tabletop role-playing game, do you want to figure out a tightly controlled puzzle, or do you want to shock the person giving the puzzle with an open-ended, weird solution?
Like cutting the Gordian knot?
Yeah.
That one.
Mm. No, I want to figure it out.
I like the idea of figuring it out, but I also like... the idea of just completely fucking
up the system. Like I love puzzle games.
Yes.
Right? Like this is my area.
Sure.
And Joe also likes puzzle games up to a point. if he had the ability to just cut the guard, he probably would be like,
he would have,
well, fuck this bullshit, and then
Joe would have a pair of scissors just for cutting Gordian knots.
Yep. Yeah,
I.
Yeah. But like, no, I want to figure it out.
Yeah.
If I'm provided with a puzzle challenge, I will spend way more time than I should trying to figure it out, even if I can just walk around the damn thing.
Yeah. I won't look up the solutions for a lot of things, especially if, like, solving the puzzle is the point of the game, but I will find, like, a fucked up way to solve something.
Okay.
I got so good at a golf game on my phone because I learned not how to bounce it off of the different walls and that kind of stuff and ricochet it into the hole, but I learned how to hit it, like, off of the wrong rail so hard that it would bounce onto the neighboring part of the course and land next to the hole, and I would skip like fucking 8 swings and then drop it in under par as a result, like -5 or -8.
If the point of the game is the puzzle,
yeah,
then I will absolutely worry that bone all fucking day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I play Monkey Island games, I play LucasArts Adventure games.
Yeah,
like,
Grim Fandango.
I was playing, my wife and I, we had recently got married, and we decided to play one of the Monkey Islands together.
Uh-huh.
And, like, 2 minutes in, she was like, press the hint button. And I was like, what?
No.
What are you fucking talking about? What? Hint button? No.
Yeah.
We gotta... No, and she, and so I'm working at this, and she's like, "I don't just what? Give me a hint." And I was just like, "No,
figure out the puzzle." Yeah.
So yeah, if that's the point of the game, I will absolutely do that.
Mm-hmm.
on the flip side, I would, 25 years ago or so now, I was playing in a D&D campaign, and the DM, we like encountered this like door with these runes and these glyphs and stuff like that, and I looked at it, I like poked at it a couple times, like, what about this, what about this, I don't know, I move on.
and the DM is just like...
could see in his eyes just okay. And I just fucking left.
Jesus Christ.
I got shit to kill.
Yeah.
And he was, and it was just like in his, I could tell in his mind, he was like,
aww.
But I, okay, we're just gonna, here's a fucking door. I'm like,
Yeah. Like, very similarly, I was told that there was a room with a lever in it and, like, torches and a carpet and some other stuff. And I was like, a carpet in a dungeon? I don't trust it. We need to... Somebody find something to fuck with that carpet. And somebody mage-handed the center of the carpet, and it wrapped up tightly around the mage hand. It was a rug of smothering. I'd never heard of this thing, and I was like, we need to tie this thing up.
Yep.
So then we had a pet rug of smothering for an amount of time. And the DM was just like, you skipped the whole puzzle of the room. Yeah. I was like... Shouldn't have made it an obvious rug.
Mm-hmm. the Oxventure campaign that I watch on YouTube, the very first episode, there was like these disappearing kids and stuff like that, and, you know, everybody's gone missing, and like, you know, for color text, you know, they open a room and a rat runs out, and they like chase the rat and do speak with animals on the rat and ask the rat questions, and then the final question is, are you the kid? And Johnny Chiodini, the guy, was just like, well, there's 45 minutes of campaign gone. Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. That's so good.
That's amazing. Well, and somebody was talking about his Rasputin gaming channel on YouTube. He was talking about his wife, who was not a gamer, did not have the gaming language understanding things, and she fucking loved Breath of the Wild because the insane shit that you wouldn't think to do in another game totally works and breaks a lot of the puzzles.
And
like, people just, instead of guiding a ball through a maze, they just flip the maze the fuck over and use it as a ping pong paddle.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, I have to get these metal objects and place them on these pads in order to connect the circuits, and then she's just like, you know what? I'll bet I could drop a weapon on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sword. It's made out of metal.
Yep.
I get struck by lightning if I'm carrying it, so it conducts electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And sure the fuck enough.
Yep.
It works. Yeah. So there we go. All right. Question number 5. Question number 4. Digital or paper? For important memories, would you choose to make a physical printed photo album with notes, or send people a link to a photo site with a gallery?
No. I'm with Salt on this one. I don't.
I,
I mean, I like posting things on Facebook and being able to share things on Facebook. So I guess digital, but yeah. I don't put together galleries photo books or anything like that.
I was going to say when I was in Greece last year, two years ago, however long it was ago, I made a Facebook gallery and just dumped pictures in there.
Yeah.
I guess that would be the closest.
That would be the, yeah.
Sure. That's what a lot of people do.
I haven't looked at them since, because that's not what I do.
Because I have a service that I back up my photos to, that Google Photos also lets you build little photo albums.
Yep. I never look at them.
Yeah, I know that it does.
And I have just started looking into doing that.
I think the only time I did that was for a friend's wedding. Where she didn't get pictures, so I just built
somebody had a friend's themed wedding? Bam ba da da dam bam ba da
bam bam ba da da dum dum dum. Anyway, so I did that so that I could share that specific photo group with her. But I just don't do things like that. Huh. All of my photos in.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're not. You're not.
The thing was,
Don't pretend like you're sorry.
I was 1 second away from doing that. Was almost at exactly the same time. Is the hardest part about that?
So anyway. I guess I've said my thing then.
Yeah, I'm legit. I'm so sorry.
I didn't really have. Okay. I could keep expounding on the fact that I don't do this, but yeah.
I just my parents have photo albums from all these different things.
Oh, my grandparents had like a gazillion photo albums.
Yeah, so do my parents.
I know people who print out photos.
I don't look at them.
Yeah. I think if I had my own kids, I would probably have printed photo albums.
Here's the thing. I had Jessa in the year 2000.
In the year...
No, that one's fine.
Okay.
But as long as you can be quick about it, which you can't, so fuck it. Anyway, no, but I wish I had had the ability to take more pictures of Jessa, just to have more of them.
Yeah.
Camera phones weren't really a thing for the vast majority of her childhood, so I don't... And I was poor.
Right.
And all this other stuff. So I just don't have a lot of pictures of Jessa at various stages of her life. Because had nothing to take them with. Vast majority of her pictures are actually from family holidays.
Sure.
Where grandparents were taking pictures because they could afford to do that.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So.
Well, somebody that I was dating, her mom had a photo printer, and she was just fucking obsessed with things were happening, whatever gathering, whatever grouping, whatever anything, it had to be captured in a series of 40 to 80 photographs.
Yep.
And those photographs had to be printed, and then she would decide which ones to keep, which to me seems a little... strong.
To each their own. But absolutely. Yeah. But yeah, that's not.
Yeah.
I take when I remember to take pictures, I take a few, and then I never look at them again.
When I'm working in the fencing booth and ringmastering somebody's fights or something like that, it does sometimes seem funny to me that somebody's family memories, somebody's cherished family memories of Fest have me in them.
I've often thought of that. No. When I was a kid, we visited Fest. I'm from South Dakota, you know, so when we visited Fest, it
never
was...
heard of it.
It was, but when we visited, it was once.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, we're going to go every year. You know, it was once when I was like 10.
Right.
And... looking back at those pictures when I started working at Fest at Como Cottage, Like, I was like, oh my god, I have pictures of you in a photo album at home, and now I'm working with you.
Yeah.
Like, there were a couple people, I was like, I have a picture of you from 10 years ago. And so then that got me thinking. I was like, how many people have pictures of me?
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm Casimir, a lot more. But at the time, it was just, I was a guy in the background.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I was just like, how many pictures of me are out there in the world right now where I'm a dude in the background? And that's crazy.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, growing up out at Fest, like, that was always just a thing I knew.
Sure.
Right? But there was one specific instance. It was when I was in the mayor's entourage, and I had borrowed, somebody had done my hair real pretty, and I had borrowed a sword from someone and some gauntlets from somebody else to do, like, this warrior lady thing. And there was a photographer that was like, hey, can I take a picture? I'm like, sure. And he took a picture of me up against a green area, and I'm probably, like, 14, maybe 15 at this point, somewhere in there. So very, kind of just, like, this teenage lady with the hoop skirt and everything, but also the sword and all of this, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so he took this picture, and I remember being on bulletin boards. Because this was right during the time where people were, like, the internet was kind of just being born.
Right.
Like, we're talking 95, yeah. Right? And so this person had found me on a bulletin board system and was like, hey, this internet thing sure seems cool. We can share photos. He had a website with all of his photography and stuff by the end of 95.
Wow.
And there was my picture. And if I wanted to go to that page and download that picture, I could click on it, go make myself a sandwich, eat the sandwich, wash the plate, dry it, and then there would be a picture of me. And that was the coolest fucking thing.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. I think that's the moment where it really hit home hard for me.
Mm.
As opposed to just... Well, because, like, Lady K was out there and she took pictures and gave them out all the time. So, like, I knew it was happening, but, like, seeing it on a website...
Yeah, internet.
Before the internet was even a thing, really. Yep. Like,
Internet famous before it was cool.
It's true.
Yeah. All right. Question number 5, medal or page, which recognition would you choose? Physical item, like a medal or a plaque, or a page in some publication?
Oh, a publication.
Neither.
You wouldn't want, like, front page of the newspaper, Casimir the Hungry, headlines at.
Nah, give me the medal.
What about the Guinness Book of World Records?
Oh, shit.
I mean, they give you a certificate.
Yeah, well.
I'd rather have the certificate, I guess.
No, I want to publicize. I want people to know about my many, many various grand deeds.
The thing is, I like collecting the objects of success, the trophies and the plaques and things like that. I don't think that they're going to mean very much to, you know, whoever has to clean out my stuff.
No, but, they can fucking throw it away for all I give a shit. Yeah,
but just, like, one of the thoughts that I do have some of the time is, like, somebody looking at things and being like, he did a lot.
Well, the thing is, so I have all of my, like, service awards and a couple of other unicorn things like that. Mm-hmm. And I have them hanging around my dining room.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really to be like, hey, everybody, look at the awesome stuff I did.
Yeah.
I have those as a way for me to remember for myself.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just kind of, it's more of a creating a specific vibe, happiness, whatever thing.
Hmm.
But if the point is recognition.
Right.
I kind of want that to be louder than a certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will. If it's a marketing thing.
Sure.
Yes. Like, the Renaissance Festival that I'm doing next weekend, or this coming weekend, I guess now, I'm on the poster for.
Wow.
Nice.
Which means people are going to come to that festival to see me.
Yeah.
Which means I will get more money.
That's fucking awesome.
That's great.
That's all right.
But it's for me to be able to get more dosh. If they put me in the newspaper after the event and say Casimir was there, be just like, yeah, I was. You weren't, so, oh well.
Do you know what it is, though? I think I've got it. For me, the reason why I want my recognition more public is that I have had so many instances where people don't know I do things at work, specifically, that does actively affect my ability to continue doing things or to do more things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why I want I want people to know. No, sure. I fucking did this thing.
I don't want people to know what I do at work.
But like, yeah, I've had things that I've done at work, and people like I didn't get recognition for it. Mm-hmm. And so when I bring something up later, people are like, "Are you capable of this?" I'm like, "I already fucking did it last year."
That is absolutely fair.
So I think that's probably why I'm more like, no, I want people to know.
Yeah, no, that is fair.
Because that directly affects my income, my ability to do my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, that's completely
your
fair.
Your ability not to murder someone.
I just want to live my life and have people leave me alone. Oh. So, yeah. But, you know, like Jenna said, I've got my Wall O awards.
Yeah.
And that's for me to occasionally, as I'm walking by, look at them and go, I did that.
Yeah. I've been at this rent fair for way longer than a saint.
These things mean that I've done good. Yeah. And that's fine for me. I don't... but again, if like putting my name in a newspaper or a book, if it's going to get more people to my show, awesome. If not,
You know what I would really like? I would like a dedication in somebody's novel.
Well, that sounds lovely.
Yeah.
I've got one of those.
Well, fuck right off. No, that's great. What book?
A friend of ours, Megan Bruner, wrote some books. And I am the inspiration for one scene in particular I am the inspiration for, and a couple vil insults are mine. Because she wrote her novels about a fictional Renaissance Festival. It takes place at our Renaissance Festival, but with a fairy world also happening.
Oh, sure.
At the same time.
Very Sandman-like.
Sort of, yeah. Or a War for the Oaks type thing going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So some of the... When she's doing a vilification tennis scene, some of the insults are mine. But then there's one scene that happens to the fire troop that is something that I was the inspiration for.
Oh.
So.
That's fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What a nice thing.
Yeah.
Salsa. Immortalized in literature.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. I do have... Okay, I have to talk about this one. There was a newspaper article written in 2013 regarding The Fringe.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was like, hey, can I interview? I'm interviewing people who are doing more than one production this year.
Well, you came to the right place.
And that was the year that
your
I
name
did
came up
seven,
on several
right?
lists? Yeah.
So that year he interviewed me and I talked about it. And I was like, honestly, like, a portion of it is just to see if I can do it.
Yeah.
Another part of it is for publicity, so thank you for being here. Like, you know, just things like that. It's like, I got into a little bit of a game with a friend of mine, and he's only got four, so I win. Like, it just stupid things like that. Another person that was interviewed for this article was my partner, because he had a couple of different shows he was working on this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so Like, at one point, this interviewer is like, so there's this one person that's got, at the time the article was written, I was only involved in 5 productions.
Mm. Only.
Only. So, and this is in the paper.
Yeah.
Like, verbatim. So there's another person who's doing 5 productions. What are your thoughts on that? And Joe's response was, why would anybody do that? So when Joe and I started carrying on, and I made this comment about doing 5 Fringe productions, he goes, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. And he pulls out this paper. And he still has it.
Oh, it's, nice.
It's a, before we were a wee, wow. We were in a paper together.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's amazing.
And it is me doing something insane and him going, why the fuck would anyone do that?
You shared a column before you shared a home.
Gross.
I had to go and make it weird.
Yes.
If you would like to send in a Fast 5, go to a1podcast.com, click on Submit a Fast 5, and fill out the form. Does anybody have a shout-out?
I'm going to give a shout-out to all of my friends who hosted things over the course of the weekend.
Hmm.
I went to 2 legitimate barbecues, which means people were smoking meats for a very long time to make it very, very tasty. Mm. For me to devour inside of 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Worth it. Amazing. So thank you to all of the Robins in the world that did those things over the weekend.
Tim Drake. Jason Todd.
That's my shout out.
Hmm.
I'm going to give my shout out to, this is going to shock no one, the PWHL, mm-hmm. Professional Women's Hockey League.
Nice.
Honestly, legitimately, even though Minnesota is vying for the cup right now, I will be happy whichever team wins, because this has been an amazing year.
This is fucking
and
awesome.
Everybody on all the teams busted their ass, and everybody deserves it. Not everybody can have it, but everybody should, if they could. That's my thoughts on the matter. Anyway, it's really good. Go on Wednesday, watch it. Watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to give my shout-out to not just the aforementioned Lucas, who helped us put our garden together, but to all the people who came to lend a hand for that. My housemate, several friends, that kind of stuff, in order to, like, cut down tall plants and crap that was growing and taking up the space. Lots and lots of thistles and stuff like that. Thanks to them. The garden is coming together, and it looks great, and we have them to thank for it.
Fantastic. Does anybody have anything to plug?
James and I both do.
Do it.
So this year at Convergence, James and I are running a party room. We are running the Jasmine Dragon, which is a fan room for Avatar, The Last Airbender. But the more pricey and for some people more important part of this venture is that we will be serving coffee and tea from 8 a.m. until 1 or 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we expect a lot of people to come through for some coffee.
Yeah.
So we have a fundraiser going right now. I can technically appear for everything, but I also want to get my car fixed. So, so we're just putting this out there that if you're planning on stopping by our room, tip in advance so that we can provide the more money we have up front, the more we can provide as far as amount of coffee,
correct.
Variety of teas, speed of coffee, like getting it out to people, having just more percolators available, all of that stuff. So, there'll be a link. And there are some wonderful tier rewards as well. I don't like calling them rewards. They're thank yous.
Yeah.
But specialized badge ribbon, There's a really super fancy sticker made by somebody that's important to someone on this podcast. Mm-hmm. No, Cass and Quirk has made an awesome holographic sticker.
Yep.
That is a limited edition just for us thing.
Fuck, it's so cool looking too.
Super good looking. we have, I think we're getting real close if we haven't hit it yet, but there might be a couple more pairs of earrings left.
Ooh.
From Space Case Cafe. Yeah. Sorry, I'm just thinking of the individual and I'm trying to think of the business name. I'm like, Space Case Cafe did donate 20 of their Sakura stud earrings. They're adorable and wonderful.
Yeah.
So there might be a few of those left. So if you hit $50 or more, then you can get a pair of earrings as well, if we still have them. Mm-hmm. And then at the $100 level, Brian Spindle has donated their Jasmine Dragon soy candles. So yeah, and you get all of the other stuff as well as that. But yeah, being able to have this money up front is going to help us out immensely in being able to provide more for the community. Mm-hmm. It's not about us. It's about you. So help us, help you, help everyone. And just, you know, throw $20 our way. It'd be great.
Yeah.
And link in the show notes. Share it as well.
Yes, please.
Because I think one of the things we're getting hit on is that people just aren't sharing the fundraiser, so nobody knows it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So please share it.
Yep.
Most especially if you're in the conversions community. If you just want to give us money because we're doing a thing that sounds neat, I'm fine with that, too. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, no, that, it goes back to the golden rule of Facebook giving is give if you can, if you can't, share.
Yep.
So,
and if you can do both, or if you can willing do both, that's both better. That's the best.
In just 6 days here, Casimir will be in Alma, Wisconsin for Fire in the Shire. This is a one-day festival. It's Saturday only, but it is only about an hour and a half away from the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
So it is not an onerous drive away. It is a fun little festival, and the museum is legitimately worth the trip. Even if you do nothing else but just go visit the museum, it is worth the trip. So definitely, please do consider it. It's a good little time. I do enjoy it. Does anybody else have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody who listens. Thank you, James, for writing a Fast Five, because nobody else did. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.